Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue by singing together from Psalter 365, all four stanzas. From the depths, my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 365, we sing all four stanzas. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. But first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them thus far.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember in prayer Mr. Jeff Feldesgraf, who had disappointing news and who has a tumor around his carotid artery, an artery in his neck. May we remember him in prayer for body and soul. Let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou art speaking. Thou hast spoken again. A serious sickness, a serious concern for the life of one of our members. Lord, we lay before thee Jeff. Have mercy on him. Bless the means that may be used. Lord, thou art the Almighty God. Oh, we beg and pray thee, as the mountains rise in his life with his health concerns, oh, may he be given to look up above unto him who has made all things, who has created all things, and who has that power to speak, and it will all be well, that it will be cured. Lord, thou art the mighty God. Bless the means. Bless the means when he hopes to have chemo to shrink the tumor, and that surgery may be possible to remove it. Lord, we beg and pray thee, have mercy. But above all, we beg thee for his soul. Sanctify these callings to his never-dying soul, but to all of us. Lord, we are all, as one of thy servants long ago has pictured, we're all hanging by a frayed thread over the abyss, and at any moment our life could come to an end. And then we must meet thee. We must be prepared. O Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would prepare each one of us for that moment. It's not how old we will live, but it's how we will die to stand before thee. And how we die determines how we live. Lord, we beg thee for thy grace. Look down upon him and all of us in mercy. We all have the same needs. We're all sinners. We're all under thy wrath. We all need thy grace. And Lord, unto whom else can we go? Unto whom can we lay all our cares and needs on this prayer day? For those who are sick, but also for all of us, for bodies and for souls. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would accompany thy word then tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, wilt thou not only bring it into the ear and enlighten minds, but bring it into the hearts? May hearts be renewed. O wilt thou pass by sinners tonight and say, live, and that they may live, and that lost sinners become lost sinners, that guilty sinners become guilty sinners, and that they may seek and be led and taught to that great physician, not only to heal bodies, but to care for our souls, who has that balm in Gilead, who can heal those wounds of sin. O Lord, look down upon in mercy. Remember all those who are yet on that broad way. O Lord, have mercy upon them. Thou art that one who has the power to translate from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Oh, we beg and plead thee, Lord, bless the seed that may be sown, and that that may bring forth fruit, new life, true repentance, godly sorrow, and true and saving faith. Oh, Lord, wilt thou bless law and gospel, wound to heal, bring to death, to bring to that place of life in thee, empty hearts to fill with thyself. Teach us of sin that we may seek that Savior of sinners. Teach us of how unrighteous we are, that we may need him and seek him to be the Lord, our righteousness. Teach us of our filth and how polluted we are, and that we need atonement, and there's only one way. Oh, show us, teach us of that all-atoning power of that blood of the Lamb of God. Oh, Lord, remember then the whole congregation, also thy dear people in this week. Oh, thou knowest those poor needy ones. Oh, Lord, those sighers, those criers, those beggars, those who have a heart by thy grace, who long to draw nigh unto thee, and longing that thou would draw nigh unto them, that they may have a little communion, a little smile, a little favor, a little token from above for their soul, for their life. Lord, thou art that good shepherd. Thou wilt care for thy sheep. Guide them and lead them and bring them and draw them unto thyself and feed them with thyself. Lord, thou art that bread of life. Oh, wilt thou then care for those little dogs, give them a little crumb from the master's table, and that they may have a token of thy favor. Oh, thou knowest those who cry and sigh, who long for a visit. Wilt thou visit them in thy mercy? Wilt thou speak and say, I am thy salvation? Take away all the doubts, all the unbelief, all the fears. Oh, wilt thou quiet that voice who likes to whisper and assault? Oh, may he be driven away, and that thy voice may be heard, and that thou would speak as that good shepherd. For thy sheep long to hear thy voice, to follow thee, and to be fed by thee, guided by thee. O Lord, look down upon us in mercy, then give opening tonight to preach thy word. Give much prayer, Lord. Take away all the hindrances, all the obstacles. We deserve nothing. Thou could pass us by, but Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. Look upon us through thy dear Son, that interceding great high priest of the church. Oh, may it be that he is interceding for us at this moment, and that thou would send thy Spirit to work mightily, converting sinners and teaching thy dear people, and that they may be edified, instructed. Oh, thou knowest what they need, whether they also need admonishment and reproof. But remember also those who need comfort. Comfort them, Lord. Lord, thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in their midst. And Lord, thou art faithful, and thou art that merciful God. There's no reason in us. Thou could pass us by, but look upon us in mercy. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thy word may be richly blessed throughout the world, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. Bless wherever thy word is proclaimed, in prisons, among the poor and needy, in faraway nations. Lord, bless it that sinners would be born again, and that that only name given among whereby we must be saved, oh, may that name become sweet, necessary, and so suitable. Oh, may that name of the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up, and that sinners may be drawn unto him. Lord, we beg and pray thee, care for all thy servants. Help each one. We're sons of men, and we need thy grace. We need thy Spirit. We need to be brought before thee in prayer. Oh, may it be so also in this congregation throughout the week, that there may be those who are crying and sighing unto thee, and to lay that sinner that needs to preach on the pulpit before thy throne, and that thou would guide him for a word to speak, and that we may be a mouthpiece for thee, and that we may separate the precious from the vile, but also that through the preaching, that there may be food and drink for the hungry, for the thirsty, Lord. Lord, wilt thou provide, wilt thou pour out, wilt thou do above all that we can think and ask for thy name's sake. Lord, remember us as families. Bless thy word. Remember the education of our dear children. Oh, may they not only be equipped to live in this world, but through thy word, through the teaching, through the means of grace, that they may be prepared to leave this world, and in this world, that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they may hate sin and love thy will, thy law, and to follow thee. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would also in this year, that thou who art the Lord of the harvest, that thou would thrust out labors, and that thou would gladden us with thy deeds. May there be many students accepted. Lord, thou art the great God. Thou can do wonders. For thy name's sake, there's no reason in us. And wilt thou also supply for all the needs on the mission field throughout the world? Wilt thou call and send out church workers, missionaries, evangelists, and that as thou hast promised, that through the means, through the foolishness of preaching, that sinners will be born again, and that they will come from the east and from the north and from the south, and there'll be one flock under one shepherd. And oh, may we and our dear children be included. Oh, may it be for the whole congregation. Lord, have mercy on us. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins. We beg and ask thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing now from Psalter 386, the first three stanzas, and also 6 and 7. 1, 2, and 3, and 6 and 7 of Psalter 386. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 386, 1, 2, and 3, and 6, and 7. And the collections for tonight is the first for the church and the second for the school target fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Congregation, it's very precious if you can hear your grandmother or grandfather praying for you, or if you may hear your dear mother or father that they pray for you, and you may hear them especially laying your needs, not only for your body, but for your soul, before the throne of grace. To hear that can be very touching, can be moving, can be precious. But tonight, congregation, through John 17, we hear the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, the great king of the church, praying for his dear sheep, for his church, before his Father. Children of God, he's praying for you. John 17 is a prayer for the church of God. Oh, how sweet, how precious. May we listen to that prayer with awe. John 17 is a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, before his sacrificial death on the cross. And one of the key points that reoccurs in that prayer is the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was focused on the glory of God in eternity. He was focused on the glory of God on earth. And he was especially focused on the glory of his Father at the very end of his life. His whole life was one focus on the glory of his Father. And he was consumed. It was his meat. It was his drink. It was his life that his Father would be glorified. But especially in the last few hours. 8 times in this prayer in John 17, we hear a reference of glory. That the glory of his Father. For example, what we read in verse 1. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. This prayer is the most precious prayer that was ever made on this earth and ascended to the throne of grace, to the throne of God. This morning we heard a little something of Daniel, but that pales in comparison to the prayer that came off the lips of that precious high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this prayer, there are petitions. Petitions of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father for his sheep, for his dear church. And so through the glorification of God the Father by the cross of Jesus Christ, there is a glorious future for the sheep. I'll repeat that. Through the glorification of God the Father, through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a glorious future for the sheep. And verse 24, in John 17, we hear one of these petitions. The last petition in this high priestly prayer. And that's what we would like to meditate upon tonight with the help of the Lord. So I'd like to call your attention to the precious word of God. But we read in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So far, the theme, the praying high priest's petition. The praying high priest petition. Verse 24 is a petition. 3 thoughts. First, we will consider how he prays. How does he pray? Look in the beginning of the verse. Father, I will. And we will consider how that high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, prays. So that's the first one. How he prays. Second will be for whom he prays. Yes, we need to follow the text. We need to explain the text. For whom does he pray? What do we read in here? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Who are they? We will explain from the word of God. And then third, what he prays for. What does he pray for? Well, then we read that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And so, the praying high priest petition, how he prays, for whom he prays, and what he prays for, with the Lord's help and blessing. How he prays. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, is praying. He has been together in that upper room in Jerusalem, on the upper story, second floor in Jerusalem. He's been in that house with his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ has served them, comforted them, instructed, spoke with them. And now, at this time, at the end of this time together, the Lord Jesus Christ prays with them. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. When the Lord Jesus Christ makes this prayer, when did he make this prayer? When did the high priest, the great high priest, the Lamb of God, that good shepherd of his sheep, when did he pray this prayer? When did this precious prayer flow off the lips of that precious Savior of sinners? The Lord Jesus Christ prays as he leaves this room, and before he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays this prayer before he lays down his life. How do we know? Well, we look in John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, referring to his prayer, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. So now we know when he prays. But how does he pray? Children, how do you pray? How did Daniel pray? But tonight we're going to speak about how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he prayed. Listen, notice his posture. How did he pray? We read he lifted up his eyes to heaven. This is a familiar posture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know also because when he was by the tomb of Lazarus, what do we read in John 11, verse 41? And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. So that was a familiar way the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. He looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. Who's in heaven? Who's on the throne? What do we read? Open your Bible to Psalm 123. There we read. So the Lord Jesus does not only pray to his Father, but he looks up to heaven. He looks to his Father. He acknowledged that his Father is in heaven and upon the throne in the glorious of glories. We read in Psalm 123, verse 1, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he lifts up his eyes unto heaven. He looks to his Father. There's no separation between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. There's no distance. There's no shame in between. There's no sin. You have the pure Holy Father in heaven, and you have the pure Lord Jesus Christ on earth. He can look up to his Father in pure confidence, in pure assurance, with love drawing nigh to his Father, which he loved to do. How different, how infinitely different it is for sinners, also for those with grace. How different. Because we're sin. We're sin from head to toe. There's such a distance. How did the publican pray, children, congregation? How did he pray? What do we read in Luke 18, verse 13? And the publican, standing afar off, and would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, and he beat upon his breast. It all speaks of what? I'm sin. Humility, coming into the presence of God. So how does that great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, make his petition? He lifts up his eyes unto heaven, but also, listen to what he says. My Father, with these words, we hear an intimate relationship between the Holy Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That relationship in the Trinity. It's precious to hear a son speak with reverence and care for his Father. But here we hear something so infinitely different. We get the Holy Father, and we have the Son upon the earth, and we may listen to him praying to his Father with intimate communication. We see something of the Trinity, distinct persons, the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth, praying, lifting up his eyes, my Father, praying to his Father in heaven. Two persons we see in this picture, and yet they're equal. They're both divine. They're both divine. They're equal. Equal in power. Equal in grace. Equal in will. Equal in total. In everything. And we read this in verse 5. 17 verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. They're the same in glory. They were together in glory. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is upon on the earth, and he has one focus, to glorify his Father. Father, he prays to his Holy Father. May we listen. May we listen to this prayer. Maybe read it over again. It's precious. How does he pray? The Lord Jesus Christ prays. What? What does he say in the beginning? The hour is come. That tells us how he prays. That tells us what's on his heart, what's on his mind, what he's thinking, what he's focusing. But the hour is come. At other times he said, for example, in John 7 verse 6, my time is not yet come. But now he lifts his eyes to his Father and he prays. My Father, Father, the hour is come. It's come. What does it mean? How does the Lord Jesus Christ pray? He prays with knowledge. What knowledge? What specific knowledge? He has all knowledge. He's full of wisdom. He knows everything. But what specifically in this prayer, as he prays, how does he pray with knowledge? He knows he needs to pay the price. He needs to pay that price for his church. But he knows he doesn't only need to pay it, he also needs to accomplish it. It's not enough to know you need to pay something. You need to pay it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ prays. The hour is come. He's praying with knowledge that he needs to pay and that he needs to accomplish. The hour is come. The hour of my death. The hour that God the Father will be glorified. The hour is coming that I, as the Lamb of God, he's saying, I need to lay down my life. I need to lay down my life. I need to become sin who knew no sin. I need to do that. I need to lay down my life. Why? Because there's unrighteous sinners that need to be righteous with God to be able to enter into my Father's presence. He prays. How? With knowledge, knowing what his church need, what those sheep need, what poor sinners need. Is that you, a sinner, unrighteous? We read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so how does the Lord Jesus Christ pray? He prays with knowledge. The hour has come. With his death on the cross, he is going to pay that debt. That debt that must be paid, and that debt not one sinner on this whole earth has. Do you live with the burden of sin and you need to pay, but you can't pay? The taught ones of God learn they have a debt and need to pay, but they have nothing. And who can pay? Have you learned that? There's only one. You have no way to pay. Well, there is one, and that's the great high priest who's praying in John 17. And he went to pay the price. How? By his cross. We read in Colossians 2 verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. No, the ordinance weren't nailed to the cross. It was nailed through him. By him being nailed to the cross. There it is. That payment. The payment in him. The hour has come. The Lord Jesus would accomplish all those Old Testament prophecies about all his suffering. But he would be victorious over sin and death in hell, that he would go as that lamb to the slaughter and open not his mouth. Now is the hour. And we read in Hebrews 2 verse 14 that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How does he pray? He prays, the hour is come. This is the time appointed. This very hour that he said, it's not my hour. Now it's the hour. It's the time for what? The dear Lamb of God, the precious Savior, the King of the church, that good shepherd who was infinitely pure, and his father could say, I'm very well pleased him. It was time for him that he would willingly become a sacrifice. All those thousands of lambs, insufficient. But he came to be the lamb. Now is the hour. He came to willingly, voluntarily give his life for those who had to give their life because the wages of sin is death. Those who must pay and have nothing lost under sin, under the curse. He came willingly. But more, the hour has come. What's the time? The time that God the Father would pour all his unmitigated wrath upon his dear son. No words can explain all the wrath of God the Father against his son, because his son was made sin. All the sins of his whole church was laid upon that lamb. And he didn't run away. He didn't complain. He didn't open his mouth. He did it so willingly. He did it so lovingly. He did it with his whole heart. And God the Father, the sword of the justice of God the Father fell upon him. He knew it. The hour is come that I need to come under that just sword of the justice of God the Father. Zechariah 13 verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Who has that sword? God the Father. And who is that shepherd? Against my shepherd? That's his son. Can you understand that? Meditate, church of God. Meditate. It may be food for you in this week of preparation. No, don't only look within. Yes, you need to look within to search. Is there any sin? Is there any wickedness? Show me, Lord, that I may get rid of it, that I may purge it, that I may confess it, that I may cut it off. But also, be given by faith, by the work of the Spirit, to meditate upon him, upon his love, that he went so willingly to stand in the place of sinners who have absolutely nothing. Nothing but sin, nothing but unrighteousness, nothing but they deserve his judgment. And he came to stand right in that place. Willie, that sword should have fallen upon your head. It should fall upon my head. But he said, he gave himself, that the sword fall upon me. And God the Father willingly took that sword and put his son to death. The hour is come. How does he pray? He prays with all this knowledge. We have a little glimpse into that heart of that precious Savior, of his deep love. Love for the glory of God, but the love for his sheep also. That he didn't run away. He didn't. He couldn't. He could have come off the cross, right, children? He could have called for a legion of angels, and they would have destroyed all the enemies, and he could have been set free, but he couldn't. He could have, but he couldn't. Why? His love kept him on that cross. The love for his father and the love for his dear sheep who have nothing. What a Savior. What a praying high priest. Oh, may you see him tonight. Oh, may you hear of him, and may it be food for your poor, wretched soul. He prays in verse 24. Father, I will. Father, I will. No human being, no sinner can pray this way. We can never pray this way. I will. We have no rights. We can only come as beggars. Beggars before that holy God that we have sinned against. Abraham, he was a friend of God. And how did he pray? What was he taught? Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Daniel, what a saint, what a child of God. But how did he pray? He prayed as a beggar, as a petitioner, as we heard this morning. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. As sinners, we're taught to pray. But we come not with any rights. We can only come as beggars before the Lord, pleading, supplicating, crying, looking. Is that you? But Jesus Christ says, I will. I will. What does that mean, I will? Well, the Greek word for will, explanation, it's not only a desire, but it's also a certainty. I will. I will something. We consider that a desire. But here in the text, in the original, it's a certainty. I will. Father, I will. An example. Remember that leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did the Lord Jesus answer? What did he say to him? What do we read in Matthew 9, verse 3? I will, be thou clean. What happened? Was it only a desire? No. The Lord Jesus spoke, and that man was clean, completely clean, like the skin of a little baby, pure. He says, I will. It's a certainty. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the great high priest of the church, he prays as an intercessor. Father, I will. He prays with authority. He prays with rights. He prays on behalf of his church, and his Father will listen, and it will be fulfilled because of him, not because of them at all. No, then the Father would only have to turn his face away, and he won't hear that prayer. But he hears it in his ear from the lips of his dear Son. Father, I will. How does that great high priest pray? He prays also with assurance. He prays in full faith in his Father. Open your Bible to John 11. There we'll read it, what he says. John 11, verse 41 and 42. And this is where the Lord Jesus is at the tomb of the Lord Jesus of the Lazarus. John 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from that place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. You hear it? He lifts up his eyes to heaven, to his Father. And he prays. He prays with knowledge, but he prays with assurance. He knows. He doesn't doubt his Father will hear him. He knows he hears him. He knows he will always hear him. And with that knowledge, he lays a petition before his Father. Poor sinner. Is that your name? Is that you tonight? You came lost, guilty, only seeing more sin in this week, more unrighteousness, and wondering, how can I ever be saved? How can it ever change? How could I ever have something of a little favor, a little token, a little mercy, a little love? How can I ever taste it? It just seems more corruption. It just seems my heart seems to be more polluted, more wickedness. I see more and more. Is there hope? Is there hope? Not in you. Not in you at all. But in him. Only in him. The prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ will be answered. Why? Because the will of that Savior praying on earth, that high priest, and the will of his Father are one. They're one. Yes, they're one. The Lord Jesus said that I and my Father are one. They're equal divine, equal in glory, equal in power, but equal in will. And so listen. When the Lord Jesus Christ prays and how he prays, Father, I will, it will be fulfilled. He will save sinners. He will redeem his beloved people. And we will hear later what he prays for. It will come to pass because of him. Are you listening? Are you listening to the prayer of him that comes from his lips? I will, Father, I will. But now comes the question. Am I included? Is that your question? Am I included in this precious prayer? Do I belong to this precious Savior? Yes or no? Is that the deep question in your heart? The high priest in the Old Testament, Aaron, for example, remember on his breastplate? He carried 12 stones on his breastplate. And when he went into the Day of Atonement, into the Holy of Holies, he brought all those stones with him. He didn't leave some off. What does that mean? He went there to represent the whole, all of Israel, all of them. But this high priest, he's praying. Who's included? Who does he pray for? Well, then we go to our second thought. For whom does Christ pray? And do you long to know you're included? Listen, I would try to explain it from the Bible, from this scripture, and from John 10. First, we read in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. So who is he praying for? What do we hear? The Lord Jesus prays for an exact specific group of persons. Who are they? Well, let's read the prayer. Let's listen to what the Lord says in his prayer of who he's praying for. Let's look in this prayer. Let's look at verse 9. We read there, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So who is he praying for? He's praying for two groups of people. No, there's two groups of people in this text. That's correct. There's two groups of people in this text, and he's praying for one. Who are these two groups of people? Well, first, the first group, I pray for them. I pray for them. Who is he praying for them? For? But for them thou hast given me. Who are those people? How do we explain it from the Bible? How do we explain it from the word of God, of the group that he is praying for? Those thou hast given me. What does that refer to, children? It's the ones that he, out of his sovereign good pleasure in eternity, has chosen. He has chosen them. He has loved them already from eternity. And who's the other group that he does not pray for? I pray not for the world. So who is he referring to? I pray not for the world. It's the ones that he passes by. They have plunged themselves into misery. And as the canons of Dort say, he preaches unto them. He calls them to repent. But he passes them over with his free and sovereign grace. And the other ones, he makes the external call internal. And he renews them. The doctrinal truth in this text, we need to listen. It's God's beloved people from eternity. Where do we read it in the Bible? Open your Bible from Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll read two verses. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And now listen, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the worlds. All those thou hast given me, who are they? They're the beloved ones that in eternity God has made them objects of his love. He has chosen them and he has given them. Christ is praying for those thou hast given. He has given them to his son, laid upon the account of his son, that he needs to go and live perfect for them, that he needs to go and obtain righteousness for them, and he needs to pay for them with the death of the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew this as the head of the covenant of grace, that he is there as that high priest, as that mediator, as that surety, as that substitute. The hour has come. And we read in verse 12, those thou gavest me I have kept and lost none of them. Various times as you read over this prayer, we hear the Lord Jesus repeating a phrase. Those whom thou hast given me. Those whom thou hast given me. In verse 2, in verse 9, in verse 11, in verse 24. It's about his disciples and all his dear beloved people. The phrase this phrase in his prayer as that high priestly prayer seems to be his favorite. It goes together with that theme of glorification and his sheep whom thou hast given me. Especially when the Lord Jesus Christ, as that high priest, is going to go to be the Lamb of God, going to become sin who knew no sin. Especially in this time, he opens his lips and he prays unto his Father, and he especially thinks of whom? He thinks of those the Father has given him. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. They're on his heart. Those thou hast given me is on our heart. His heart, he loves them. Father, thou hast chosen me, and thou hast given them to me. They are mine, and they're thine. We read in verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. My friend, to be one of these beloved ones, this is the only comfort in life and in death. To belong to the good shepherd, to be a sheep, to be fed by him, to be guided by him, to be cared for by him. And he, as that high priest on earth, prays for them before he goes and pays for them. And he is still praying for them in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He's a praying high priest. And what do those sheep learn? What do those sheep learn? Taught ones of God, they desire with an infinite desire in the depth of their heart to belong to the sheep, to hear his voice, to be guided by him, to be cared by him. In this week, do you see more sin, more unrighteousness, more pollution? And it seems just getting absolutely impossible. And are you thinking, why would God have ever chosen me? That's just so absolutely impossible. But I have a question. Why did God choose any? He didn't need to choose any. This is a precious doctrine, congregation. It's so precious because it's hope. It's hope for sinners. Because why did he choose them? There was no reason in them from eternity, and there will be no reason to eternity. Why did he choose them? It flowed out of his sovereign good pleasure, out of the very heart, out of the love of God, and of the love of his Son. So that's hope. That's hope. Hope. Could you imagine you have to qualify? You know what they learn? I only disqualify. Is that what you're learning? Good. That's a blessing. Manasseh, him, he killed his own children. Paul, a Pharisee, and he killed Christians. Rahab, a harlot. Samson, who was so strong, but he couldn't control his own flesh. And Jacob, the deceiver. And I can make a whole long list. But what did they all learn? What did they learn? What are they taught? Are we called to inquisitively pry into the secret things of God? No. How do they know they belong to the sheep? How do they know they belong to the good shepherd? What did their forefathers teach them? What? Open your Psalter, please. And I'm to read a piece from the Canons of Dort, the first head, article number 12. And there we read instruction also in this week of preparation in connection to this petition of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read on page 99, Canons of Dort, first head, article 12. The elect, that's the sheep, in due time, though in various degrees and in different measures, attain the assurance of this their eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves with a spiritual joy and holy pleasure the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God, such as true faith in Christ, filial fear, a godly sorrow for sin, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness, etc. So, how may you ever know if you're one of these beloved sheep that thou hast given me? How may you know? By the lessons that the Lord teaches by his Holy Spirit, by the marks of grace, by the marks of grace. Are you a lost sinner? No, not that you know it here, but you know it in your heart. Have you become a lost sinner, guilty, wretched? Have you been convicted by sin, righteousness, and judgment by the Holy Spirit? And can you say with Paul, wretched man that I am? You just don't repeat it, but you mean it from the depth of your heart. Do you just feel ungodly before a holy God? Is this a reason to conclude you're not one of the elect? No. Why? Because that's where the Lord brings his people. That's what he teaches them. He finds them dead in sins. He teaches them that they are sin. And he teaches them another painful lesson. In themselves, they will only remain sin. Is that you? I am sin, I do sin, and I remain sin. Wretched man. What did Paul learn? What did Paul learn? What did he say in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15? That the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, that's good news. And what does he say about himself? Of whom I am the chief. Who are those sheep? They become the chief of sinners. No, they don't look at others and compare. They themselves decrease. They become lost. That's a sheep. The chiefest of sinners. The less than the least of the saints. That's what Paul said. Is that you? Is that your heart? That's what he teaches. But the marks of grace, they may with joy see in their heart that the Lord has worked in them. What does those sheep learn? How does the Lord Jesus describe his own sheep? John 10, they hear his voice and they will not listen to another voice. They won't follow another one. They hear his voice. They follow him. They enter through the door. It speaks of faith. But we read also something in this very chapter which the Lord Jesus in his prayer describes who those sheep are. And so I'd like to read two verses from this prayer, verse 8, and then we will read verse 20. We read in verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that it came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." And now we'll read verse 30. "Neither pray I for these only alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words." So with John 10, with the Lord Jesus Christ and these verses, who are the sheep? What did they learn? They hear his voice. What voice? They hear the voice of that prophet. Because he's not only the priest, he's the prophet. He teaches. What does he teach them? What does the Heidelberg Catechism tell us? Through the law, he teaches of their misery. So they hear his voice through the law speaking. That their sin, they become lost. But they hear his voice also through what? Through the gospel. Through him, that he's the shepherd. That through him is their only hope. That he's that sinless. He's that sin bearer. That he's that savior of sinners. And we read, they receive the word, and they believe. Who are the sheep? They become lost in self, misery. They seek deliverance through another. They have faith given them through the word. They read through the word. They hear the word. They hear the record of God's Son, and they believe it. They can't help it. They do believe it by faith planted. There's hunger for him, thirst for them as a lost sinner, and they believe in him. They have faith. Is there faith? True saving faith. Faith that goes out to him. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say about those that were given him? We read in John 6, verse 37, "And all that the Father giveth me," who are they? "Shall come to me." There you have an explanation. That's the sheep. They come. Is this your life? What is that? What is that coming? No, it's not with feet. It's with their heart. Heart drawn to him as a lost sinner. Absolutely lost. No hope. And they hear of him. And they're drawn to him. They go out to him. They cry to him. They pray to him. They need him. They come stumbling. They come crawling. They come creeping. They come as beggars. Broken legs. Yet they come. They need to. They're drawn. Coming is an illustration of faith. Who are the sheep? They're lost in self, and they seek salvation entirely outside of themselves. Who are the sheep? What are they in the midst of this week? What are they? What do they come to? In the midst of death. In the midst of death itself. But they seek salvation. They seek salvation in the shepherd. They need everything from him. They need everything from him to be able to be reconciled with an almighty holy God in heaven. John Calvin said, the greatest proof of being one of the beloved, one of the elect, is true saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that's not easy, believism. No, it's true. It's with their heart. It's with love, with affection, all combined with the pollution of sin and wretchedness. Is that you, a wretch, yet seeking, looking, sighing, crawling, creeping to that Savior? You heard of him. You've seen a little something and you're going out to him, longing that he would embrace you, longing that he would speak to you. And this week, our sins rising up. But if you have those true marks of misery, deliverance, and you long to follow that sheep, then you will be secure. You will be secure. Flesh may rage more and more, but you will be secure. Faith may become so low. Is there faith? Only smoking flax. But you're secure. If you have those marks, the work of the Spirit, it can become so poor, so cold, secure. And you could be sinking in the depths, in despondency, but you will not drown. You will be secure. You may be going through a fire of trial, but it's secure. Why? Because of you, no. Because of that high priest. Because of him. Because of what he said. He went to heaven, and in his hands are those sheep, and he will keep them. He will keep you. He will keep you. And he will guide you and lead you and teach you exactly what you need. For what purpose? To strip you of everything. That he becomes everything. Oh, listen to what he said. Open your Bible to John 10. There we have the security. The security of the sheep in that great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10, verse 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me, you hear that again? My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, blessed, precious, great high priest, in him is the security, not in us, not in our feelings, not in our security. In our experiences, nothing in us. The security is in the love of the Father through the love of the Son. Oh, to see it. Oh, to be brought to rest there. Because that's rest. Resting in him. Not resting in anything I am myself. But just death. Looking. That's blessed. A blessed people. That's led there. Taught there. And may rest there. Blessed sheep. Let's sing Psalter 367. Stanzas 4 and 5. 367, stanzas 4 and 5. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell. Surely I will bless and help her. Feed her poor, her saints make glad. And her priest shall stand before me in salvation's garments clad. And her priest shall stand before me. And what follows? 367, stanzas 4 and 5. the praying high priest's petition. We've heard a little something of how he prays. We heard of whom he prays for. Now, what we prayed, we heard of whom he prays for. What are we, in the last point, what he prays for, whom he prays for, and what he prays for is our last thought. Let's read verse 24 again. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the worlds. So what does this mean? First, consider what he did not pray for. The Lord Jesus Christ did not pray that his dear people, his sheep, would be immediately taken out of the world. No, because we read what he prayed as a petition in verse 15. I pray not thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean that when he prays this petition, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He's praying. He's longing. This high priest cannot live without his sheep. This high priest cannot live without his sheep. He loved them from eternity. He came to pay the price for them. For them. And he's going to pay. And he longs to have the sheep with him as the good shepherd. He can't live without them. He's going to go home. He's going to go to his father. He's going to ascend. But what is he doing there? He has one purpose. To prepare a place for them. He's going home. He's praying, preparing a place for them. And he's preparing a place for his sheep. His sheep. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He longs to have communion with them. Like Daniel, in prayer. He longs to have communion with them in church under the preaching of the gospel. He longs to have communion also with them at the table. He longs it. It's his desire. With great desire, I have desired this, to eat this Passover with thee. Do you hear it, sheep? But he has something else. He's going home. And he wants to take his whole church, all his sheep, home to be with him. To be forever with him. Uninterrupted communion. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ want his people to be with him? Why does he pray, Father, I will. I want this to come to pass. I want this certainly. I want them home. I want them with me. I want them in glory. Why? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. The Lord Jesus Christ wants sinners. He wants his sheep. He wants his sheep to come to that place where they may behold him in his fullness. In his fullness. That's what it is. In his glory. In his fullness. No more through a glass darkly. But he wants them to see his full glory, because they're not going to be satisfied until they may be with him in glory. That they may delight in him, delight in his fullness. You hear that? What a wonder. What an absolute wonder that the high priest prays for any sinner. What a wonder that he came to pay. But what a wonder that he also longs. He longs for the people to have communion with them. And he knows them. They're dust. He knows their wretches. He knows all the doubts, all the unbelief, all the wretchedness, all the sin that yet remains. And yet, he willingly went to the cross for such sheep that can't present him with anything. No perfect love, no perfect faith. So often, just in a slew of despond, sinking, doubts, trembling. But that shepherd is faithful. And he gave everything for them. Nothing will separate from his love. And he longs for them to be taken home to behold his glory. What's the purpose of everything, congregation? God's glory. What's the purpose of salvation of sinners? Glory. Open your Bible. Romans 8, there we hear it. Romans 8, it's all about glory. the glory of God the Father, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would be with him in glorification, beholding his glory. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What will make heaven glorious? Ask a Jehovah's Witness. They give you some pictures, streets of gold, all kinds of things that man thinks is glory. And we read in Revelation how glorious it will be, and we can't even understand one iota of all that glory. But what will be the glory in heaven for those saints, for the redeemed? It won't be the streets. It won't be the angels. It won't be the saints. It will be one who? The Lamb of God. The glorious Lamb of God. That will be their glory. Their supreme joy will be forever in the house of the Lord, as David said in Psalm 23, verse 6. Why? Why? We read in Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. He longs for that day. That's the whole purpose of the Father. That's what flowed out of his heart from eternity. That through his Son, they would come to be in glory with him eternally. What a thought. Who can understand it? But it flows out of the very heart of God the Father. And that's the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came. That's why he paid. That's why he humbled himself so low. He couldn't go any lower. And he came so low to come underneath those poor beggars, to lift them up, to bring them to glory. That's his delight. That's his desire. And he will not rest until that is fulfilled. And that should be the delight of his sheep. That should be our delight. To long to be with him. With him to worship him. With him at the table. And to long to be with him. To be forever with him in glory. That should be our life. We should be an Advent people. Loose pilgrims on this earth, looking, longing, living for him, for his name, for his glory. One purpose, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, and the glory of the church. And they will sing a doxology eternally to the Lamb. And we read it in Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That will be their song, the song of Moses and the Lamb. All the glory will go to him. And then they may be with him to behold his glory, to behold the fullness of his person, the fullness of his being. Oh, what sinner can explain that? What sinner can describe the heart of the love of the Father, of the Son? The Spirit applies some of it, and we taste some of it through the Spirit. But there's coming, Church of God. May you be brought, sheep. You heard it, who they are. Sheep. Those poor ones. No, they don't come as elect. I'm one of the elect. They come as lost. Lost ones. Black but comely. That's the sheep. They come longing for what? To be seen by the congregation? No. They don't want anybody to look at them. Not that. They want to come and sit. To sit. Under shadow. And to be fed. To be nourished. To have their faith strengthened in him for his glory. They need it. They need it. And if you may know on good grounds you belong to that good shepherd, that you're one of the sheep, you are called, commanded, invited. He desires it. Father, I will that they be with me, that they may behold their glory. And on this earth there's little sips, little places of rest. But there's coming a rest. A coming. That Paul said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But there's coming a time that those hungry souls will be satisfied with what? Beholding his glory, seeing him eye to eye. Will you be there? What will it be? It's what we read, and that's what we'll end with. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The good shepherd and his sheep will be like him. Blessed future. Unspeakable satisfaction. Never hungry, never thirsty, no more sin, forever beholding the glory. But what will it be to be cast out? Make haste for your life's sake. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, wilt thou richly bless thy word? It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that sinners would be born again, but also that there may be food, that there may be drink, that there may be comfort for poor and needy sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give also thy people a longing in the midst of death to seek everything in thee, but also to come to thee also, to be fed by thee, to sit under thy wings. And oh, may it be that I may sit under that apple tree, and that his banner over me was love, that thou would comfort them with thyself, that thou would comfort them by the power of the Holy Spirit upon the merits that thou hast given, thy dear blood, thy broken body, but also thou hast kept the law. Thou art that righteous one to cover unrighteous ones. Lord, keep us in these coming days. Give also that we may be faithful to examine ourselves. And Lord, give much prayer. Give opening on thy day. Give opening to proclaim those wonders, those beauties, those riches that are in thy dear Son, that poor needy sinners may be fed by the gospel. Have mercy, Lord. Keep us all from an unprepared death. And remember each one of us. And remember those especially with special cares and needs for health, for body, and for mind. Look upon them in mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 32. It's from Psalm 17, Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. O thou that ever savest those who trust on thee estate, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid. Let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy, full and free. 32, stanzas 3 and 4. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.